Well, if you were wondering where the rector was as the service began this morning, I can assure you I did not oversleep. I did not get distracted by the abundant display at coffee hour, which will welcome us after the service. I was actually meeting with our godly play class, our younger students, for about 5 or 10 minutes while you were all entering into worship here. And I was doing so because I wanted to talk with them a little bit about how we say thank you in the life of the church, what it means to give of ourselves and to give of our gifts, and what it might mean to make a proportional gift of what one has on a weekly basis. In other words, talking with our children about what it could be like for them to have a weekly offering envelope to bring a gift to God week after week. Because frankly, that's what we are talking during this season of stewardship with about the adults in this congregation. Next week, we'll be asking members here to make a financial commitment to the church for the future year. And during the announcements today, our stewardship team will be sharing a little bit more about proportional giving and what that might look like in your life. We actually had a good lesson about that last week. If you were here last week, Jack Tompros, one of our Godly Play students, and his dad spoke about what St. John's means to Jack and his giving. We have a transcript for some of you. If you weren't here, it's worth reading in coffee hour. And if you didn't hear all of his comments, we have them written down. But Jack was asked by his dad, what do you do with your allowance? And he said, well, with my allowance, I give 1/3 of it to St. John's. I put 1/3 of it in a savings account. And 1/3 I get to keep. There is an example of proportional giving. And what a challenging example it is. Imagine if we all gave 1/3 of our income, not even to the church, but away. This would be a very short stewardship sermon then. Even the historic discipline of 10%, to offer 10%, the first 10% of one's income to God, can seem like an incredible challenge and maybe impossible to fulfill. And yet, as Christians, we're invited to look at that idea of moving in that direction, of continually and consistently finding a disciplined way to say thank you to God. I realized after listening to Jack that his love for St. John's can also offer another lesson to us. And I want to share one story, not about last week, but about a year ago when I was invited to be his friend, his special friend at his elementary school. It was the day when you could invite grandparents, or if you did not have grandparents living in the area, you could invite a special friend to come with you and to learn about the classroom and about his life at school. So we were there. I was there in my clerical collar, sitting at his desk with him, and the teacher asked each student to introduce their special friend or grandparent and who they were and how they were related. And it got to be Jack's turn, and Jack said, this is my special friend, Tom. And the teacher waited, and he didn't say any more, so she said, so Jack, so how is it that you know Tom? And Jack thought a moment, and he says, he goes to my church. He goes to my church. And I thought, whoa, how wonderful. How much he understands the meaning of this community. This is not the rector's church. This is not the bishop's church. This is not the diocese's church. This was and is his church, his community. Jack has a sense of ownership in this place. And isn't that wonderful when we have that deep sense of connection, that deep sense of ownership? Now, ownership is not always necessarily a good thing. It can lead to arrogance, a sense of possessiveness. This is my house, this is my car, this is my property, or these are my resources. But it also has another side to it, that sense of investment when you're engaged and committed. We saw something of that in the scripture readings this morning, that interesting parable about a widow who goes to the unjust judge. Especially in Luke's gospel, you should always pay attention when he mentions widows. They are among the most vulnerable of people in that time and culture. And yet, widows in the stories of Luke's gospel often act with a kind of authority. And what does this widow have? What does she own? She owns a vision for justice. We don't know the circumstances of how she's been wronged by her opponent, but she's invested in seeing that things are made right. And she will persist in her pleas until her cause is resolved. That's what ownership looks like. Just as people have persisted in the maintenance and preservation of this community, its life together, its physical walls and ceilings and roofs. Ownership. We also heard about ownership in our reading from the Hebrew Scriptures. And this is not so much about ownership that you or I have of things, but rather of God's ownership, God's investment and ownership of a community of people, the people of Israel. God recalls the covenant that was established with these people when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. And in Jeremiah's words, God recalls how they broke that covenant. But God will restore it. A new covenant. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God. And they will be my people. God has an investment as well, and the investment is in God's people. And that's one of the paradoxes of life together here. The more we invest in owning this place, this community, the more we discover that indeed we are not the owners. It is God. It is God who blesses us, God who sustains us. It is Jesus Christ in our midst who is continually enabling us to grow and to be a blessing to others. Jeremiah's scripture reminded me of advice that my minister gave to me in my confirmation class when we were going through the rituals of confirmation. And back in those days, we had to memorize the Ten Commandments. We had to memorize the Apostles' Creed and several other beliefs and doctrines. But I remember when he was assigning us this, he would always say, "Now, don't just memorize it. Learn it by heart. Learn it by heart. Let these words speak to your heart. Let them change you. In a sense, own them, but in a greater sense, let them own you." And so here's another definition of what it means to be an owner of this community. To me, it means that we are continually learning by heart, living by heart. When I've wronged someone in this community and I need to ask for forgiveness, I'm learning by heart what forgiveness looks like. Or if I've been holding a resentment against someone and they come to me and ask for forgiveness, I need to learn by heart what that means to let go of that resentment or that anger. When we are overwhelmed by grief, and we come into this place and hear the promise of the resurrection and feel the love and support of friends and family, we are learning by heart what it means to be fully human. And when God's grace surprises us with blessings unexpected and a bounty we never could have imagined, we are learning by heart just how amazing that grace can be. So, we're going to be very seriously asking people who are connected in any way with this community to consider what it is that you and I can give of our time, of our talent, and of our treasure this week and next week and in the year to come. It'll take some calculation, some thought, some planet. But I also hope it takes some heart, an opportunity for you to reflect on what it means for you to say, this is my church, this is my community, and this is the place where I discover that I am one of God's own, one of God's blessed children, called together to be a blessing to the world. Amen.